There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel and Travis till 4. We've got two in the books, one to go. It's been a pretty good show. We have already covered some serious ground on the Texans. We had Rod Sharon of ESPN Denver on to break down the matchup tonight from a Denver perspective. I think we'll have that on the podcast. So if you want to catch that and you want to make sure you get what you didn't get because you were shamefully not listening to us when you should, it'll be there. But in the meantime, we have also touched on the World Series because the tree does fall in the woods. And whether we hear it or not, now it's going to be heard on an international basis because of the fact that we are into the final two teams in baseball. We touched on the Cubs and the Indians. Kind of a first preview. We're looking at maybe possibly getting some other people's perspective on the World Series as we go forward. And we know you guys don't care, but we still may mention it. Nick, I know you don't because the Astros aren't in. But we may get to that as well. We also talked about some things in terms of just things to look for in the Texans game. But one of the things we haven't talked about yet, but is a story that is making the round that I am, of course, very familiar with, that I wanted to get Travis's perspective on as well. There's a story breaking now on ESPN that seems to me to be old news because it did surface last year a little bit. But it's back up again, where before Dwight Howard left the Rockets this offseason to join the Atlanta Hawks, that there was a meeting of the minds last year after Kevin McHale had been fired, and that J.B. Bickerstaff, the interim coach, resisted complying with the wishes of GM Daryl Morey and owner Leslie Alexander in trying to reduce Dwight Howard's playing time. Sources within the story also said that a face-to-face with the face of the franchise, James Harden, also influenced Houston's management's desire to decrease Howard's minutes. However, team sources insisted Harden was not involved in those decisions. Let me slow this down for you, Travis.
Yes.
I'm going to slow this down and read this again. However, team sources insisted Harden was not involved in those discussions. Well, then, if that's the way it is said, it must be the truth.
It got to be the truth. You didn't just tell me, but you insisted.
Now, at this point, if we weren't on the air, I'd be going a couple times without using the cough button. But at the same time, what I'm telling you is that this is sports in today's day and age. The bottom line is whether you want to look, no one says, look, you've seen the Bill Belichick, Bill O'Brien era. You know that you don't have to tell the media anything if you choose not to. You also know that there are general managers and people higher than that that seem to think that the media is only there to be used as pawns as they see fit and that they should only print and report what they say.
But that's how a lot of, well, I don't know a lot of franchises, but I'll say it's at least two franchises here that use the media as pawns and put out their propaganda, or should I say.
Notice how you broke it down from a local perspective. I said it's just more of the overall way sports is being run today on a national basis.
But I know how, I don't know about nationally, but I know here how it was done. You know what I mean? And I know, and me, to be honest, I know personally, because I remember dealing with media as a player, and because everybody was like, oh, he's not getting any sacks. Well, you drafted me to play nose guard and right. 3-4. But then all of a sudden, it'd be, Trav, you got a game ball. Here's a game ball for this game. You played wonderful today. And all of a sudden, I get a media person write a story like, well, they're unhappy with Travis Johnson the way he's playing. Where the freak is that coming from? So guess what? That further lets me know it's being fed to you from somewhere.
The media is used as pawns. And the thing is that, look, Dwight Howard was not the same player as he was in Orlando.
That's because he had about three extra babies.
Okay, I'm not going to worry about which direction the fish are swimming. I'm just saying that from a basketball perspective, okay? And Kevin McHale was the guy that was supposed to, along with Akeem Olajuwon, bring this guy back to his abilities when he was with the Magic, and then bring this team to the promised land, and then get him and James Harden to get along, and then have every other piece around them become better, and then duplicate what they did against the Warriors, and then keep going. The fact of the matter is, Dwight Howard was more damaged goods than people realized. Kevin McHale touched on it on several occasions when he said, look, when you put Dwight in the low post, and he was in Orlando, he had so much athleticism and strength, he could do so many different things, and you could really work with him and teach him some things. When Kevin McHale got this Dwight Howard, he already had lower back issues. He had a lot of things that he had been through in his career that limited his ability to get to that low post position and get into that position to do the things he needed to do.
Did the injuries do that, or did his mindset do that? Because to me, it just seems like Dwight, he wanted to be wanted so much that when he realized that I'm not that guy anymore, or people around the league don't respect me because, one, I ran from Kobe in L.A. in the spotlight of Los Angeles. For two, I came out here and I decided to bitch and moan all the time about, you know, the things that were going on. Is that another reason why he decided, oh, I'm just not getting in the post, or no, I can't do this? Because, to be honest, outside of Dwight, early years in Orlando, and yes, he played well, you know, at times in L.A., even with the shoulder, I was disappointed. I think as a whole, I was disappointed on his career.
Let me break it down this way for you, too. When he came to the Rockets, he came because of James Harden.
Yes.
Okay? They overachieved like mothers, and they got to the Western Conference Finals. And I will argue until I lose my breath to tell you that if he doesn't get hurt in Game 1 against Golden State when they're up 16... And they were playing, again, the hot team. They were playing as good as anybody. They were riding the momentum of a steal of a series, literally against the Clippers.
Yeah,
they would have given Golden State all that they had bargained for and probably a very long series. Not saying that they would have guaranteed that they would have won, but I guarantee you that there would have been a longer series, okay? But when things go the other direction and you can see them going that way, you fired your coach 11 games in,
yeah,
okay? And then you start really starting to pay attention. You know, Dwight's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And you realize, hey, we're hooking our wagon to the beard. We're not hooking it to Superman or what's left of Superman.
He's never been Superman.
I get that. Okay, Shaq?
Yeah.
I'm just saying for the sake of discussion. Okay. All right? So then you start looking at, well, we got to keep the one guy we're keeping happy. You know that they're not happy anymore.
Yeah.
Because the honeymoon was over. Now there was a line in the sand. Are you on Team Dwight or are you on Team Beard and all of that? And so they decided to really look. They knew they wanted to keep James. James, in a couple of years, they would have faced the same dilemma. And if James wasn't happy, he could fly the coop. And as Daryl has said all along, hey, look, you can't have two and three superstars if you can't get one. If you got one, you got to keep him. So if they weren't going to keep Dwight and they knew that they weren't going to give him 23 for this year,
yeah,
then you're going to keep James. If you keep James, then you got to keep James happy, too. So no matter what you say to the media, and I can go all the way back and I can tell you about friends' experiences and I can tell you other teams, but don't tell me that he wasn't involved in the process in a lot of ways, in a lot of different decisions.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever believe that he wasn't a part of the process.
But there are people out there that are telling you need to.
Yeah, but I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to let you urinate on my forehead and tell me it's raining outside. At the end of the day,
it depends on the stream and the drips.
Exactly. And the color.
Well, that too.
Yeah, but, you know, that's like saying Kobe didn't have anything to do with Shaq getting traded. Or Kobe didn't have anything to do with some of the decision making.
It's the same thing as saying Kobe had something to do with Derek Fisher staying on that team or so-and-so joining that team. It's in your best interest
to talk
to your best players before you make decisions because you'd rather have him happy than the alternative.
Exactly, because if he comes in that locker room and says, oh, by the way, we got rid of Derek Fisher today. Who got rid of Derek Fisher today?
Right.
Point him out to me, and we're going to get rid of that guy today. And I think it's absurd, and I think to be honest, as a fan of the Rockets, as a fan of you know, I guess all Houston sports, I'm offended that you would think I'm that dumb. You know what I mean? To say that he had no no bearings in that decision.
But literally, you're being told what's news, what's not news, what you should talk about, what you shouldn't talk about, who did what and when, and you're supposed to believe it. The fact of the matter is, in today's professional sports game, the ownership, the upper management, and the best players all have their hand in the pie on everything that's going on. And if you don't believe that, then you're just naive. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair.
Okay, Cody, you want to get in on this with Dwight Howard? Welcome to the show. What's up, man?
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, I was actually touching up on what Travis was saying regarding the whole Dwight Howard injury. I mean, you know, Dwight Howard's injuries, yeah, they've limited him. But the truth is, his lower back was only kind of stale because, you know, when he first came to Houston, he was a double-double guy. I mean, nobody expected him to be the same Dwight Howard he was when he was in Orlando, but he was still a double-double guy. And then, yeah, the coaching may have had something to do with that, along with, you know, how unhappy he was. But, yeah, I really think that his injury really was just a mindset thing. Because you got to remember, I mean, Adrian Peterson came back from an ACL injury and ran for 2,000 yards. Sean Livingston, we all saw how badly his entire leg got shattered. And he came back, and he's been a great player for the Warriors coming off the bench. So when you talk about injuries, it really is the mindset. And being a marathon runner and going through some sprained ankles and some bad knees and runner's knees myself, I understand that, you know, it does take some time to recover. You may not ever be 100% again, but that doesn't mean that you can't work up to that potential. You know, J.J. Watt is a great example of that. You know, his back wasn't healed, and granted, the Texans did use him a bit early. But, you know, even when he wasn't there prior to the injury, he was still able to at least be on the field. And outside of the Chiefs game, he was able to perform. So it really does go into the mindset of how much you really want to put into your recovery after you get injured. And also, one more point I wanted to add out was, media is definitely just a pawn. I mean, they always want the story. And owners, GMs, they'll give you as much truth as they want to really give you. All right.
Cody, we appreciate the call, man. And Trav, you can respond to that as well as the rest of you when we come back. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Travis and Joel till 4. We've touched on a little basketball. We mentioned the Rockets. It's up to you if you guys want to continue the conversation there. We've touched on World Series, Texans. You know what we haven't touched on, Trav? We need to touch on
college
football weekend that was. Now, a lot of you know that the Aggies are right here on ESPN 97.5. Aggies had a huge game, and they were shown exactly what the rest of the nation was shown, and that is Alabama's damn good. So Alabama's good. Two more teams fall off in the SEC, but boy, they're not down. And overall in the top 25, the biggest thing that I have to beef about before I throw it as to what you took notice of, Trav, but aside from Penn State being Ohio State, which turned out to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, it did.
My boys in Wisconsin win a game that's a tough game to go to Iowa. They win the game. They came in number 10. They leave in both polls at 11. Can you explain it to me?
I guess they look at the quality of win, and then being that with Ohio State losing, they had to move down. And I think they moved a few teams down and didn't even lose. I don't think y'all were the only one that went down.
West Virginia is the team. West Virginia, because they dismantled TCU, who was down?
Now, I think West Virginia, aren't they undefeated?
West Virginia 6-0.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So
Virginia catapults in, and that slides Wisconsin to 11, which, of course, ticks me off. But
well, y'all still are in it, though.
You should be happy because thanks to a misprint, the AP Top 25 has Wisconsin at 11 and Florida State at 12.
Yeah,
that should be Florida.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
I believe so.
Well, because I was thinking the same thing when I first saw it. Was here's the thing is that the top 25 teams, y'all are sitting pretty good right now.
We've been through the gauntlet of our schedule.
You've been through the gauntlet of your
although
schedule.
We still have Nebraska.
You do, but look at it this way. Read off the rest of those top 10, 11 teams right now.
Do I have to?
No, I'm just saying because when you look at it, some of those guys got to play each other.
That's what we keep telling Barry when Barry's talking about the whole SEC. The big thing is the SEC is still playing each other. So right now, AP Top 25, Alabama, who is going to sit there through the rest of the season.
Yeah, they'll be number one.
Michigan at two. Still has to play Ohio State.
They still have to play Ohio State. And not just have to play Ohio State, but Michigan. Don't they still have Michigan State left?
I'm going to check for you.
But here's the thing.
But it doesn't matter.
It's a rivalry game.
Right.
So they play Michigan State
this week.
Yeah.
Then they play Maryland, Iowa, Indiana, and then the Buckeyes.
So they finish the season right there.
They always do.
Right there, of course, right around Thanksgiving time.
Right.
They're going to finish the season with Ohio State. And hopefully Ohio State wins that game. Ohio State wins the game. Now all of a sudden, or vice versa. You either blow them out or Ohio State wins and everybody drops down. Ohio State drops all the way out of it.
Selfishly, I want someone from the Big Ten to be in that Final Four because I really believe the Big Ten's the strongest conference. Here's the other thing. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the SEC, you can't say they're down. Well, guess what? I can because there's only 12 teams in the Big Ten. There's 16 in the SEC.
Yeah, 16. Yeah,
right?
You're right.
Yep. Two sides. And most of the big name teams from the SEC are down with the exception of Alabama, and A&M still hanging in the top 10 because, look, A&M deserves to be there at 6-1. It's going to be tough to dethrone Alabama regardless, but A&M's loaded with talent. And to this point, Kevin Sumlin hasn't pulled as Kevin Sumlin and lost a game that he should win, so you got to give him their due. But overall, Florida, way overrated in my mind.
They are.
We'll see, because they still have to play a lot of...
They have to play us.
They have to play an SEC schedule, and they still have to play Florida State out of conference. So those are big games where they could tumble. So we'll see what happens with all of that as everything transpires and breaks down. But overall, the SEC's now only got six teams in it, in the top 25, and some are just hanging on for dear life towards 18 and 19 like Tennessee and LSU. So we shall see. And they still have to play people.
Washington still has to play Cal Berkeley and USC.
Yeah, so if we look at the top 10, okay, Alabama, Michigan, Clemson I fully think deserves to be there.
They'll lose to Florida State.
And I will bet you on that game because they will not.
That game's coming this week.
And they will not. So we'll talk about that in nitpicks this week because there's no way I see that happening. Washington, I believe, is vulnerable, though I'm happy they're on the uptick. Peterson's done a nice job there, but it's going to be interesting to see because I really don't know that they've played that tough of a schedule. Louisville, to me, another huge win.
And they come in, and that's another game that we didn't talk about that will play this weekend. U of H and the basement dweller of the NCAA, SMU, dragging they behind.
So, Travis... there's one thing that's been missing from this show more than almost 2.5 hours in. Do you know what that is?
What?
That's the voice of Nick Sciarra. I believe that he now has no choice because you have just called out his alma mater for the ass whooping that they took.
Yeah.
And said, Nick,
there's no excuse.
Now what?
There's no excuse, man. No excuse.
They look bad.
They look terrible.
Now let me ask you this. Okay. So here's the thing. Raheel's talking about it with Granato today. He says the UT people are loving this because with every loss that U of H takes, they're taking $200,000 to $300,000 off the offer they got to make to get Tom Herman. Does this affect Tom Herman? Does this make him want to stay, or will he stay? Or does this affect anything about Tom Herman going forward?
If anything, it makes him want to leave more, right?
Exactly, because games like that, you wouldn't lose with a team that you're supposed to have in the U of H, and I did put air quotes.
Is that what you did? Because no one can see what you do on radio. I know that's weird for you.
But the team that you're supposed to have, and those guys went and sullied the bed, you know, when
sullied, he says, Nick. Sullied. I believe that's crap in another language.
You know, and when that's just what you didn't expect. But now, because of that loss, I've changed my wanting to. For that November the 17th game, now I want U of H to beat Clemson. I mean, Louisville.
Yeah, I do too.
Now I want U of H to beat Clemson. I mean, beat Louisville.
Yeah, the CTE is really acting up today.
It is. But then the Nebraska game. Who does Nebraska? I mean, you keep going down the list.
And I'll get it for you too. But by the way, can we see if we have concussion protocol in the studio? Because Travis is definitely suffering right now. We need to know if he might have to go on IR the rest of the week.
Dr. Chow, where you at?
Man. Yeah, where's the, can we call Dr. Chow and get him to do a quick scan over the phone?
Dude, my freak. I've had a headache today for some reason.
All right, so Nebraska is 7, but let's go. So Louisville's at 5, and they look like they deserve it. And by the way, Mr. Jackson's literally running away with the Heisman. Phenomenal. You don't agree? Who are you putting in the same ballpark?
Right now?
Yeah. Who?
None of them.
The kid from Michigan, maybe. But
Jabril Peppers
is making a late push.
A late push? He's been balling like this. He's been balling like this all year.
I said a late push.
He's been balling like this for last year.
Okay. Well, your push is different than mine, as we know. But I said a late push. All right. Thank you, Salt. Actually, you'd be Peppa and I'd be Salt.
Exactly.
Okay, so Ohio State falls all the way to 6 after they stumbled against Penn State. May have stumbled completely out of the national championship game. Have to beat Michigan. Probably have to get some help. Nebraska at 7. All right? They have Wisconsin this week.
They do have, and I think they lose that game.
And they're at, they're at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think they lose that game.
So they go to Camp Randall. That's a huge game, but it's a huge game for both schools.
Yeah, of course.
So but they're undefeated, but the Badgers have been battle-tested already. Yeah. I like the Wisconsin's chances in that game.
I like Wisconsin's chances in that game as well.
Who?
And Wisconsin.
No, Wisconsin. I taught you how to say it right.
Well, I'm going to keep saying Wisconsin because that's just what we did. Or I'll say Wisconsin. But here's the thing. You know, you skipped over the Ohio State. I mean, you hit on them being 6.
Right.
I think with a loss to Penn State, that should have pushed them a lot further than 6.
The only thing that saves them is Penn State is hanging on to 24.
They just put them there.
Right, but at the same time, so now Penn State's 5-2 and they're in the top 25, so it looks a little less painful.
But
at the same time, I just said it right here. I think it bounces them out of the top. I think it bounces out of a national title contention.
This lets me know the coercion going on in the playoff.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, in the playoff system, because now all of a sudden, Penn State was god-awful. Regardless of them just having the 2 losses and being 4-2 before they beat, they weren't a threat to anybody in the Big Ten.
What you call it is Ohio State, by the way.
Yeah, Ohio State. They weren't a threat to anybody. But then all of a sudden, they beat Ohio State, and they got to throw them in the top 25, not just because they beat a top 3 team, but because it makes it look a little bit better.
I'm telling you what, let's stick with this. Because at the same time, when we talk about scenarios, when you look at who's in the top 10 right now and then who might be there at the end of the day, it could be totally different because of just exactly what we're talking about. Based on who has to play who. Kevin, we see you on the call. We'll get to you in a minute. But let's talk about this because what you see now might not be what you see at the end of the year based on the schedule and based on what Travis is talking about. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We've told you before, we'll tell you again, we're not like everybody else, so therefore we're not talking 24-7 Texans, and we're not blowing smoke up your ass trying to get you to believe that they're something that they're not, or that we don't believe in. With the same thought in mind, we're talking about the top 25. Travis and I were talking before the break, during the break, and now after the break, in the fact that the top 10 and the top of the top 25 that you see now does not and probably will not resemble that which you will see at the end of the year. Because of so many teams that have not only have to play each other, but have to play a tough, tough, tough schedule the rest of the way. With that being said, we are going to pick up where we left off and talk about a lot of these teams that are still hanging in there. But, Travis, to break up the monotony of just the expertise that can absolutely put someone on their hiney because we floor them with so much information between the two of us, we will go to the calls first. And we will first take Kevin, whose last name I don't think is Sumlin, who wants to talk about A&M. Kevin, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
I've got 2 comments and a question. First, I'm going to eat my crow because I predicted that the Aggies would cover the spread at least.
Yes, you did.
And I was wrong.
Okay.
Second of all, this is a disclaimer.
Yes.
Being an Aggies fan, I'm in no way saying that the referees cost A&M the game.
Thank you, because we already knew you were an Aggie.
Alabama's defense special teams is potent, but there was quite a bit of inconsistency, especially with helmet-to-helmet hits and targeting and such. Specifically, the first hit by Allen in the first possession, where he dove over the running back, Man, he hit Trevor Knight right in the helmet with his head. And then the hit on Speedy Noir on the kickoff is targeting by the definition of the rule. But thirdly, my question really is if the Aggies win out with one loss, will and don't go to the conference championship, can they go ahead of a two-loss conference champion? And I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call, Kev. Trav, I'll let you take the second part of that first, but because we do our due diligence, during the break, we were going 1 through 10. We were looking at schedules. That's why we made the statement that we made, the me of we being the spokesperson of the two of us in this case, that the top 10 that you see right now probably is not going to be the top 10 you see at the end of the year, and that a lot of teams have a lot of tough games on their schedule. A&M, to your call, Kevin, has New Mexico State, which God only knows how that happened. I hope there's a hell of a payday somewhere because that's like, you know, whoop-de-doo. But then they have Mississippi State at Mississippi State, home for Ole Miss, which I think is going to be more of a game than you may think. Then UTSA and their powerhouse squad before they face LSU. I think you may see one, you, Trav, potentially two.
Yeah, you talk about two losses.
Yes. Yeah. I think LSU is a hell of a game. I think Ole Miss is a hell of a game, and I wouldn't sleep on Mississippi State.
No, you can't sleep on Mississippi State. Mississippi State is a well rounded team, but here's the thing for these guys, they'll lose to LSU at the end of the year.
And your thought being Coach O?
I think Coach O has these guys playing great ball right now. For one, for two, they're gonna try to save him to be the man. So in order to do that, you have to be able to take this Texas A&M team, and when they come to Death Valley, you have to be able to hit them in the mouth and keep them out the playoffs. Because right now, their only job is to make everybody else's season miserable.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this trap, and the thing that I say is, they, from the standpoint of what A&M showed me, they've gone on the road, they beat an Auburn team that's pretty good. Okay, they're decent. But overall, I mean, that's the road win they hold their hat on.
Yeah.
They struggled, but they beat South Carolina. You know, they got to prove to me they go on the road, and they got to punish some people, right? So the only thing they got left on the road is Mississippi State. I don't think that they're a great road team. But then, you know, the rest, again, everything else, this was the year to do it. Let's put it this way, because they got all these home games. The only one they didn't have was the one they just had against Alabama. That would have been great to have in their own backyard.
Yeah.
But LSU's coming to College Station.
Oh, my bad. I thought they were going there. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. so that's a big deal, too, that they're going to do all these games at home. So that's the strength of it. But they still got to put up. And we know Sumlin, in his history, has tripped up a couple times on games that they should win.
Yeah.
All right, especially after a huge letdown because Alabama handed it to them. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this, because that's going to be the key for the Aggies. Because, Kev, to your point, do I think they have a shot? Yes, because of the fact that if they win out, they deserve to be up there and in a discussion, because of the fact that everyone probably is going to be an underdog and look to have should lose against Alabama. If they win everything else, then, again, it comes down to what we were talking about. What is the rest of the top 10 as it sits right now, or as it will sit? How does that factor in, and where do they sit? So we know Wisconsin's still going to play Nebraska. Wisconsin's at 11, Nebraska's at 7. One of those two teams bounces out of the top 10. But to Travis and I were talking about in the break, it's possible both our universities could end up very high at the top if they win out, because Wisconsin and Florida State are two lost teams, but they were two good opponents. And if they continue to play well and they win out, and you look at what Nebraska has the rest of the way, they still have Ohio State. They've got a tough schedule, so they could fall very quickly. It's going to be really interesting to see how all this playing against each other factors in, because at the end of the year, we might have some teams sliding up you wouldn't have expected when you looked at the top 25.
No question. I mean, when you look at the top 25 right now, sitting perfect right now is Wisconsin and Florida State. Mm-hmm. Our two, and it just so happened they're two of our weeds right here at ESPN 97.5.
I guess I have two.
It's two of our weeds.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
That's right. No, I got it.
Because you're my weed, so your team is my weed. You know, but
does that make it wee-wee? Because it's both of us?
Well, we can't play with wee-wees.
No, don't play with the wee-wees.
So, but here's the thing. Is with the way the schedule set up, these guys in the top 10, most top 10 guys, they'll probably lose a game outside of Alabama and Michigan. There's a big chance they lose a game.
So let's highlight some of those. Before we do that, DJ, you've been waiting. We're going to get you in, and then we're going to go team by team and talk about the tough games left on their schedule. DJ, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, I kind of agree with what you said earlier about the whole Ohio State thing and them only dropping to 6. And for years, I've always had a problem with the rankings because, in my opinion, I feel like certain schools like Alabama and Ohio State and a few others are always held to a higher bias or a higher standard than everyone else. It's like if they lose to an unranked school, they only drop them a few. But, you know, let my school, I just keep it 100 because I feel like LSU always gets the short end of the stick because if LSU loses to an unranked team, they're dropping completely out the rankings. We lost to Auburn by, you know, a few points earlier this year. They dropped us completely out the rankings. You know what I'm saying? And it's similar to something that happened a couple of years ago when Cam Newton was playing them. They beat us by 6 points. I think we were like number 3 at the time. And they were like number 7. They dropped all the way down to 10.
But DJ, don't you think that the entire SEC gets preferential treatment? I look at Ole Miss. They had 3 losses. That was the first time a 3-loss team was still in the top 25 since, like, I think 07 or 09. So
right.
It's tough because it's a catch-22. I hear what you're saying that LSU, they're, you know, especially with the Mad Hatter, they were waiting for that one really big slip-up loss and they were going to drop them down. But I look at the SEC as a whole and think those are the teams that seem to continuously get more love than they deserve.
Not the whole SEC, but Alabama for sure.
Yep.
they give a little bit too much love to Florida.
Florida, Georgia, Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas is another one. And, you know, I just feel like that a lot of the schools get the short end of the stick. Like, no way in heck should Ohio State be number 6 after losing to Penn State. Like, in my opinion, this has got to 11 or 12. You know, it's just ridiculous. The whole ranking system to me, you know, I try to go about it as best as I can, but this is that's what's presented, so you have to use it. But a lot of these people that are voting, I really don't think you know what they're doing. Seriously.
Well, you know, and I appreciate you, DJ Holly Grove. I should have known you was from New Orleans with the name Holly Grove. But, you know what? I agree with certain teams because I think Ohio State should have dropped further.
Do we really?
No question. No, I don't care how you lost.
I look at the rest of the top 25 and say, with the schedule they've played and the way they've blown out most teams with the exception of Wisconsin and then losing, I don't bounce them out of the top 10.
You lost an unranked team.
You lose to an unranked team, and then you still have, what, Michigan and Nebraska?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You can't base it on the rest of their schedule. Look, they'll still have plenty of opportunities to prove themselves, but I think one loss when you're coming from 2 or 3, depending on which poll you're looking at, I think you still end up in that 10 range before you bounce out of the top 10.
But I, just like DJ Holly Grove just said, if it was anybody else but an SEC team or a Big Ten or a team, I wouldn't say a Big Ten team, the big names of the Big Ten, the Ohio States, the Michigans. If it was anybody else in the top 3 that lost a game to an unranked team, they would have went down to at least 9. At least 9.
So if you say Clemson would lose to a gutter dweller like Florida State?
Yeah, I'd put them at 35.
Right. But okay, let's go realistically now. So let's say if we want to talk Clemson, Washington to me.
But Clemson loses to Florida State, they're still losing to a top 15 team.
I agree. So that it's not a good example. But say Clemson would lose, let's say the rest of their schedule, all right? So let's say Clemson, let's just take Florida State out of the mix. But after Florida State, say they lose to Syracuse or Pittsburgh. They have Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Wake, and a rivalry game against South Carolina.
They dropped to 15, at least to me.
I don't see that happening.
Why not?
You lost to Syracuse. Far. You're undefeated coming in, man.
You lost to Syracuse.
Depends on even, and I was going to say depends on how the game goes, but even still, I just don't see them dropping that far.
At the end of the day,
U of H going from a top 13 to just out?
They're supposed to.
Yeah, okay.
They lost to SMU.
I understand
SMU,
what they did.
Out of 125 teams, SMU is 126.
That's fair. Do the math. And I'm not a math major.
But something don't sound right about that.
And I didn't say it at Holiday Inn Select Line. And the analytics guy is not here today. So anyway, we've got one segment left. If you want to talk about the top 25, give us a ring. Give us a text. Give us a tweet. Let us know. 713-780-ESPN. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Okay, Travis and Joel for one more segment. Nick behind the glass. He did finally rear his ugly head and get in on this because Travis was railing on the University of Houston. So Nick basically took his medicine, which he knew he was going to have to do.
Medicated.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We had to get into the fact that we were talking about the fact that of the top 25, the schedule right now for the remaining teams is no cakewalk. I do see Clemson winning out. You don't, because obviously they're playing the Noles this week, which I understand. But Clemson's got Florida State, and then basically Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Wake, South Carolina. South Carolina rivalry game may give them a little bit of a hard time. I don't see it. Michigan has to play Ohio State at the end of the year. That's a biggie. Ohio State still has to also play Nebraska, which is another biggie. Nebraska has the gauntlet. They have Wisconsin this week at Camp Randall in Madison. Then they have Ohio State as part of the end of their schedule, which is tough. So they're going to have – I see Louisville basically – and especially the way U of H is, I see Louisville basically being a team that's going to be in the discussion for the Final Four regardless, Trap. Agree or disagree?
No.
Okay, why?
Because Louisville, for one, the game that they did lose, for two.
But they lost to Clemson.
Yeah.
And it was a good game.
But they're going to lose to U of H.
Oh, now they are. Now
they're
going to
lose to U of H.
A couple weeks ago, you had a different story.
I did.
You're just saying that from a Seminoles perspective. I look at their schedule and say, Virginia, win. Boston College, win. Wake Forest, win. Houston, now more than I would have said before, win. And Kentucky, like, Kentucky should just forfeit. So, essentially, I see Clemson as being that team. Clemson and Alabama, to me, are the two that are going to be in the Final Four. And I know your Noles. Okay, so let's just skip over it.
My Noles are winning this week.
You'll have something to say about that. Washington, your thoughts.
UW, they still got to see USC.
Yeah, and you know what? And besides that, they still got to play Utah, who's 17th in the country.
Yeah, and those aren't going to be cakewalks.
They got Utah this week. They're at Cal, home for USC, home for Arizona State, who's not going to be a pushover, and then Wazoo in the rivalry game. So again, Washington to me hasn't really played a whole lot. They don't. I just don't see them being one of the Final Four. Ohio State, we already know, plays Michigan, and they have to play Nebraska. Nebraska, we already touched on. The fact that Nebraska's Final Four is Wisconsin and Ohio State, Minnesota, Maryland, Iowa, at Iowa to finish the year, which is not going to be easy for them. So the Big Ten's going to beat the hell out of each other with Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Baylor, which everybody says, oh, God, what happens if Baylor's in the Final Four based on everything that's happened? But again, before you go and anoint them, they still have UT this week, TCU, then Oklahoma at Oklahoma, Kansas State, which just beat UT, Texas Tech, and then West Virginia, who's 10 right now. So there you have that. I don't think that I see Baylor coming out unscathed there. A&M, we already talked about them. And then West Virginia in the top 10 right now.
Virginia is going to be a bigger problem than everybody thinks.
West Virginia's at Oklahoma State this week. I'm sorry, this weekend. Then Kansas, then at Texas, then still has Oklahoma and Baylor and Iowa State. You think they're going to run that?
They can.
Sure, but, I mean, ifs, buts, candies, nuts. I don't see them running that table.
They have the team to do it. Here's the thing about West Virginia's schedule is the Oklahoma game is the biggest issue, and the Baylor game is after that. I think they beat so basically if they can't do it, so you're telling me Baylor gets into the Final Four?
No, I'm saying Baylor's schedule's tough too, but I'm just saying I don't see any Big 12 team getting in the Final Four.
The only reason they won't get into it because once again they don't have a championship game, and per the rules for the playoffs it has to be an outright champion, and if there's a tie for the championship in the Big 12 with Baylor and
West Virginia,
then neither one of them goes once again. And it's going to be the same situation it was with Baylor and TCU a few years back.
The good news for West Virginia is they're home for Oklahoma and Baylor. They're on the road for Oklahoma State and Iowa State, and they have to go to Austin to take on the Horns, which Dana seems to have trouble with. I mean, he stumbles somewhere in the state of Texas. Here's my thing. They're at home and all, but I see them dropping one of those two games. I see them, and again, that's what makes it interesting, because then at 11-12, you got Wisconsin and Florida State. So that's where we say our teams could actually end up sliding up, could backdoor
their way. Yep. One of us could back. Depends on how much chaos happens in this last month and change of the season. There could be a lot of chaos.
But that's why
going
I keep
on.
Saying, don't talk to me about where your conferences and your teams are now.
No,
you have to wait till everybody gets done playing everybody else. Because again, to me, Washington is one of those teams that they're unimpressive. Yes, they're at 4. Okay. But at the same time, everybody's schedule, with the exception to me of Louisville, looks like they have the potential of dropping one, if not two, and this whole thing could be upside down. I see Alabama, I see Louisville a part of the mix, and then it's a complete crapshoot.
After those two teams, it is a complete crapshoot. You know, but I don't know, man. I think Michigan stays in it. Of course.
Mm-hmm. You think Michigan? I think Michigan loses to Ohio State.
Nah.
Michigan's quarterback play to me has been less than stellar, and I'm trying to be complimentary.
Man, Harbaugh got mind control over Urban Meyer.
Dude,
man,
that game's at the horseshoe.
What does that mean?
You got inexperience at the quarterback position, and you're going
Ohio,
into the
Ohio State just went into a.
They went into Happy Valley on the road. Big Ten home field advantage means something. In most cases, it means something.
It's still Happy Valley that hasn't been so happy.
National TV, bro. National TV, home field, night game, man. Big time. Come on, man. That's the same reason why Wisconsin hung in with Ohio State as long as they did.
Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, that's the beauty of college football.
I love it.
Is there's no guarantee.
There's parity, and there's more parity to be seen and had before all is said and done. That's for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a lot of heartbreak. It's right now. It's going to be like the last episode of Walking Dead. Like it's going to have people just really crying out here for no reason. And I don't even watch The Walking Dead. But
I don't either. But I guarantee you that if you want to talk about it, I'm sure Fred and AJ are very well versed on it.
Who's
The Blitz, man.
Oh, my man.
Boy, the CTE is really taking it to an all-time level.
You talk about The Walking Dead. I mean, I just said that because I was on Twitter and everybody was crying about The Walking Dead, and I've never seen that episode.
I've never seen the show.
So I figured it had to be something.
But I know those dudes know their shows, their lines and spreads, their wines and their beers, their steak nights, and a lot of sports. And I don't have to even say any more, because other than that, if you don't believe me, you can ask them, because they're next. The Blitz is coming up with Fred and AJ. For Travis Johnson and Nick Shirira, I'm Joel Blank. We will talk to you tomorrow as we are here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.